You know, for years and years in my life, I knew that I was a sinner. I knew that I was powerless over sin. But there finally came a point in my life where one day I just cried out to Jesus in desperation, having nowhere else to turn, given up hope. And I believed on Jesus and placed my faith in Jesus, on who he was and who he said he was, and knowing that he had paid the price for my sins on the cross and he had indeed been resurrected. Now at that time came surrendered. I truly surrendered my life to Jesus, placing my faith in Jesus, calling upon him as Lord, trusting him with my life, with everything. And then I sought to know him. I sought to have a relationship with him through the studying of his word, through going to church, through going to Bible studies, through prayer, through fellowship with other believers. And as that went on, I also learned that God had a plan for me, just as he has a plan for everyone here. And he also had spiritual gifts for me. But it was interesting, even though I was a follower of Jesus, I had placed my faith in Jesus, there were still parts or areas in my life that didn't reflect Jesus well. Maybe some of you can relate to that. There are areas in my life that needed attention before I could truly walk according to the plan that God had for me. Now, we call this process, a big word, sanctification. So I just had three words there. You see that? Three S's. Salvation, surrendered, and sanctification. There were, when I first got saved and surrendered my life to God, there were some major, major things in my life that Jesus had to deal with, that needed to be dealt with immediately, pretty much. And Jesus did that. He changed my heart. He freed me from many sins, freed me from that bondage. But this process of sanctification, this process of becoming Christ-like, continues for all of us each and every day until we're in Jesus' arms. But often there's a work that Jesus will do as he has a work for us. And he will do a special work in us. I think, unfortunately, a lot of people kind of get stumbled here in their faith and their walk and their calling, knowing that God has a plan for each and every one of us. He wants to use us for his purpose and his glory. And he wants to bless us with gifts to accomplish these things for him. But sometimes we don't understand that we need to surrender everything that we are. Because otherwise there can be things in our lives that can really come in the way of the testimony of who Jesus is and what he's done in our lives. That was my story, at least. Now, this work that needed to take place in my life, the sanctification, this pruning, wasn't something I could do myself. I tried for 15 years to do these things myself, and I came up short every single day. But through the empowerment of the Holy Spirit, through faith in Jesus, he did an amazing work in my life. By surrendering before Jesus, he then prepared me for the work that he had for me. Answering the call, Do I love Jesus? And that's the title of the message. Do you love Jesus? And it's a process for all of us. So last week we were in John chapter 21, the first half of the chapter. We looked at the first 14 verses. Now these passages I found very, very interesting. And we believe again this entire section was basically added by John later. In this chapter, the focus I think appears to be on Peter, and how Jesus would mold him into the man that would be used greatly by God. That was the theme that I really saw in this last chapter. And then as I read this and I looked at last week's passages, I asked the question, and I think we all should ask the question, as Jesus molded Peter into the man that he was going to use greatly, is how would God mold me or you into the person that would be used greatly by God? And I think this is one of the main themes I see in this chapter. Now, looking back at what has taken place so far in this chapter, Jesus had asked the disciples to wait upon him. We remember that. The disciples kind of obeyed, but then they went to Galilee. But then I believe they became impatient. We talked about this last week, especially Peter. And Peter came up with this great idea. What did he say? Let's go fishing. Perhaps to do something that he was comfortable with, to do something he was very good at, while they waited upon Jesus. Now, we know many of the other disciples joined in after we know many of them were also fishermen by trade. So they all went to do something while they waited on Jesus. Now, we know the story. They fished all night and they caught nothing. These professional fishermen caught nothing all night. They went to go do what they were good at, what they've been doing since they was a child. They caught nothing. And then as the sun came up early in the morning, they saw a man at the shore and he instructed them to throw the net. And they did. And they caught 153 fish in one cast of the net. Jesus had done for them what they could not do for themselves, and much, much more. Even though this was what they did as a profession from their early childhood. So the disciples, they hadn't really realized right now that it was Jesus who was the one that had told them where to fish. Now John, he's the first one that noticed from last week. Remember, he said, "It's the Lord." He called out. But it was Peter, again, that we studied, who jumped in and swam towards Jesus. Peter swam away from his boat, the catch of fish, his friends, and I believe that day his own ambitions, surrendering before Jesus, seeking after Jesus. Now we know there are many disciples present, including John, the author of the book that we're studying. They were also part of this fishing trip. But I'm sure God was teaching all of them, as he's teaching all of us, a lesson. But I believe Peter is really at the heart of this story, this chapter that we're looking at. Because, you know, Peter had some issues. I had some issues. God wanted to use Peter in a great, amazing way. But Peter had some stuff that God had to deal with in his life. And we're going to see that. And I think Jesus is going to address this as he addresses it in our own lives. Now remember what Peter had done. He had denied Jesus three times, just before the crucifixion. Now Jesus is going to start preparing Peter for his work. This brings me to my point. Are we prepared to be used by Jesus for his purpose? Are we prepared to be used by Jesus for his purpose? Think about the story we studied last week, and I just reviewed. What did Peter find once he got to Jesus after leaving the boat and others? We talked about this last week. He found the very thing that he had been seeking all night fishing, the fish. Already prepared by Jesus, ready for him to partake in fellowship with Jesus with. So Jesus, again, is molding Peter and the other disciples to be the men who would serve him to accomplish his will. Now, it's interesting as I think about this, the picture that we got out of that was that these disciples, again, they'd gone back and they were trying to do it on their own. And all they came, the only catch they got that night until Jesus came was a catch of frustration. Maybe some of you can relate when you try to accomplish your own will outside of Jesus. The only thing you get done is frustration. That's how it works for me. But with Jesus, they actually caught a bigger catch than they could have ever even imagined. It was actually impossible how many fish they caught. So here's another point from this, from last week. A question, as we're going to get into today. Do you love Jesus more than anything else? This is all continuing into the second part of the message today. And Peter's showing us this as he left the boat and left everything behind. Again, Peter was faced with this question, and this very question, before he chose to deny Jesus in his actions to save his own skin, just before the crucifixion. Do you love Jesus more than your own life, your worldly possessions, your family, Do you love Jesus more than your own life, your own worldly possessions, your own family? At what cost will you follow Jesus? This is the question that we're looking at in this chapter. Looking back at Peter, he had made a big mistake, we know. And restoration was needed between him and Jesus. So we left off in chapter verse 14. So we're going to pick up in verse 15. And hopefully, they all learned a lesson, the disciples, right? To wait on Jesus. And that only through Jesus that they would truly be fishers of men. So Jesus had used this fishing trip to teach Peter a lesson. But now that Peter was surrendered and chasing after Jesus, Jesus now is going to confront Peter's sin in the passages we're going to study today. So John chapter 21, let's look at the first verse, 15. After breakfast, Jesus asked Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" "Yes, Lord," Peter replied. "You know I love you." "Then feed my lambs," Jesus told him. I say this a lot, but I want us to imagine ourselves in this story. Put yourselves in this story. Imagine you're one of the disciples. You've been up all night fishing. Now you've came ashore. Jesus is there. You've just eaten this large breakfast. I'm sure you would have been quite sleepy after being up all night, working all night. Now your belly is full. I'm sure the other disciples were laying down and maybe even taking a little nap, but I'm sure none of us would have done that. Our focus would have been on Jesus, right? None of us would have been nodding off at all. But look around as you put yourself in the story and look what's happening. Jesus has specifically looked at Peter and addressed him personally from among all the disciples. "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" This would have been uncomfortable. He singled out. I'm sure, just as Peter, all of us, if we were there, we would have answered the same way. Right, wouldn't you? "Yes, Lord," Peter replied. "You know I love you." Of course you would have answered that way, wouldn't you? This question from Jesus, though, is really deeper than we may think, as Jesus is addressing Peter's previous denials and his proclamation he made. Remember in Matthew 26, I'm going to read Matthew 26, verse 33 and 35. Peter declared, "Even if everyone else deserts you, I will never desert you." Jesus replied, "I tell you the truth, Peter, this very night, before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times that you even know me." "No," Peter insisted. "Even if I have to die with you, I will never deny you." And all the other disciples vowed the same. We know soon after Peter said this, he denied Jesus three times. And he was faced with a very difficult situation. And now Jesus here is going to address Peter in his denials. Now, as I read this, I wonder what exactly Jesus is speaking to when he refers to, "Do you love me more than these?" Now, imagine the story. What is he looking at? Is he looking out to the boat? Is he looking at the net of fish? Is he looking to the disciples? Is he looking back to the horse? What is Jesus speaking of when he questions Peter and says, "Do you love me more than these things?" What are these things that he's talking to Peter about? In the Amplified Bible, I like the Amplified Bible, this verse reads this way. When they had eaten, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? Others do, with reasoning, intentional, spiritual devotion, as one loves the Father." I asked myself as I studied, are there things in my own life that Jesus would ask me and look at? And address me and say, "Do you love me more than these things? Than these?" This could be many things, couldn't it? Another question as I read this is, why did Jesus address Peter this way? You notice how he addressed him differently? "Simon, son of John." If we look back in the Bible, Jesus had been addressing him just previously as Peter. But today, in this passage, he addressed him by his old name. I believe Jesus addressed Peter this way to state that he had gone back towards his own ways, his old behaviors, his own thinking, before he'd become a follower of Jesus. And it spoke to me and asked me myself, what about my own old behaviors? Do any of you have old behaviors? I do. Maybe some of you don't. I do. What would Jesus call me? Do you have an old name? I don't have a different name. But here, I wonder, like, would he call me like Aaron? I shared my testimony about business last week, right? Would he say, Aaron the businessman? To me, that if the Lord said that to me, that means I'm doing something I shouldn't be doing. Or would he say, Aaron, son of the world? Can you imagine being called that? That would be bad. What would you be called? What are your old ways? What do you slip back into? Today, I hope I would just be called Aaron's servant of the Lord, my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. People, you know, they always ask if a pastor or this or that. It's like, we are servants of Jesus Christ, all of us, brothers and sisters. Now, I thought about more about this, and I just had to go back and look at my week, right? That's what's nice about going to church on Sunday. You can just look back at your week. How did I do this week? Let's examine this week. As all the people that met me, all the people that I have had encounters with, would they see Jesus? Everyone we had an encounter with, would they see Jesus? I fear not everyone that met me and had an interaction would say, wow, I saw the love of Christ in that man, even if they didn't know who Jesus was. My heart wasn't right all week. It was VBS week. Get a little grace. No, it went really well. Praise the Lord. But I do pray that each and every week, each and every one of us would have a good testimony to share, that we would be that testimony of Jesus' love and who he is. Then it brings to the response that Jesus gives in this verse, the response he gives to him. He says, then feed my lambs. If we love Jesus, if we answer that question, yes, I love Jesus, then we will minister to those people who God has placed in our lives and those around us. We will love them as Christ has loved us. And remembering, love is an action. It's something that we do. It's not necessarily something we feel. We will minister as Christ has ministered. So let's continue to look at verse 16. Jesus repeated the question, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Yes, Lord, Peter said. You know I love you. Then take care of my sheep, Jesus said. Jesus isn't letting this go. Jesus asked again in front of all the others, right? Do you love me? In Acts 20, 28 through 32, I want to read that. It says, so guard yourselves and God's people. Feed and shepherd God's flock, his church, purchased with his own blood, over which the Holy Spirit has appointed you as leaders. I know that false teachers, like vicious wolves, will come in among you after I leave, not sparing the flock. Even some men from your own group will rise up and distort the truth in order to draw a following. Watch out. Remember the 3 years I was with you, my constant watch and care over you night and day, and many tears for you. And now I entrust you to God and the message of his grace that is able to build you up and give you an inheritance with all those he has set apart for himself. Jesus is clearly making sure that we all understand if we say we love Jesus, we will care for his people as Jesus did. Let's look at verse 17. A third time he asked him, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Peter was hurt that Jesus asked the question a third time. He said, Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you. Jesus said, then feed my sheep. Three times Jesus asked, do you love me? I can imagine the humility. You can see it that Peter faced, that he experienced as Jesus asked him again. In that third time, I'm sure as he remembered three times he denied Jesus. I'm sure this flashed through his mind as Jesus asked him for the third time, do you love me? Knowing that he had denied Jesus three times. And Jesus now is asking him three times, do you love me? Peter had sinned against Jesus by denying him. Denying Jesus is a sin. And this was committed, this is adultery, is what it is, against God. And Peter is repented, but Jesus kept asking him, "Do you love me?" This was a very passionate, passionate discussion between Peter and Jesus. And I think what this is it's the oncoming of a new season in Peter's life. One that he would truly follow Jesus, but now with humility. And now knowing following Jesus came at a cost. He knows this now. Many of us say, "Yes, I love you, Jesus." But later, we start to realize there's a cost. There's a cost to following Jesus. And knowing that cost, and then still to boldly proclaim that you are a follower of Jesus is different. And Peter knows that now. Jesus needed to do a work in Peter's life before he was going to lead the church. He was going to lead the church. Remember Peter's heart before? In John 13:37, he says, "But why can't I come now, Lord?" he asked. "I'm ready to die for you." Right? But then what happened when he faced reality? He failed. Peter had failed and denied Jesus, but then Jesus was there to give him grace and mercy and restore him and bring him into a right relationship before Jesus. What a lesson for all of us in my own life. I think about years and years of walking with Jesus and how many times in different areas of my life, I actually have denied Jesus in different areas of my life. You know, maybe it's your finances. Like, I serve Jesus, I love Jesus, but I got this. Maybe it's your kids. Maybe it's your job. Maybe it's something else. I know that I have denied Jesus in many different areas in my life. And I failed horribly in that at times, just as Peter has. But you know, Jesus was always there on the other side of it, looking and asking me, "Do you love me? Do you trust me?" And always restoring me and loving me. And there was no condemnation. There was just open arms and restoration. So this lesson is clear. If I truly love Jesus, I will no longer deny him in any area of my life, but in obedience, trust him and feed his sheep. So Jesus, let's see what else Jesus wants to teach us. Let's look at 18 and 19. "I tell you the truth, when you were young, you were able to do as you liked. You dressed yourself and went wherever you wanted to go. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands and others will dress you and take you where you don't want to go." Jesus said this to let him know by what kind of death he would glorify God. Then Jesus told him, "Follow me." Jesus again is instructing Peter and us the time of doing whatever we wish, whatever we would like. Being impulsive is behind us. It was behind Peter. His going fishing, it was time for a new season. The season of seeking his own desires, the season of me seeking my own desires has come to a close. It was time to seek Jesus and seek his will and his purpose. This season of this immature Christian walk needed to be transformed into a new season in Peter's life. It was time for Peter to put his own desires behind and serve others, not himself. Jesus continues in this passage and then foretells of Peter's life all the way up to his death. Now we know Peter would face much persecution and he would actually die on a cross, it's told to us. History tells us that Peter was placed on the cross upside down in Rome and died a martyr's death. Now this was God's will for Peter, and his death would glorify Jesus for thousands of years, and the gospel would be preached as we're sitting here right now reading about Peter. But 3 years before, what did Jesus ask Peter? "Follow me." Now here 3 years later, same thing. "Come, follow me." You know, before, Peter kind of blindly followed, didn't he? Yes. He's just, okay, yes. But now, Jesus has revealed to Peter so much more. He's seen Jesus crucified. He's seen his death. He's been told even that he will die. And now, Jesus is asking, "Follow me." Peter knows the cost now. And I think there's some of us here even today, we start to understand there's cost in some of the callings. Do we know the cost? Do we understand what that is? There's cost. There's cost to our families. There's cost to our health. There's lots of different costs. Do you love Jesus? Will you follow Jesus? Because Jesus is asking every one of us, just as he asked Peter. Let's look at 20 through 22. Peter turned around and saw behind them the disciple that Jesus loved. Gotta love John here. The one who had leaned over to Jesus during the supper and asked, "Lord, who will betray you?" Peter asked Jesus, "What about him, Lord?" I love this. How many of you have done this? I've done this. What about him, Lord? Peter, in his action, he accepts Jesus' invitation, just like we all do, right? We're sitting here. We accept Jesus' invitation, knowing even the cost, right? Even having some idea, at least, of the cost involved now. But then, as Peter is being molded in this man that God is going to use in amazing ways, but Peter is still Peter, isn't he? Like, we're still us at times, right? We see this, he turns and asks, "What about John?" Peter asks, or wants to know, what's going to happen to John? I mean, he just got, you know, maybe he knew he was going to be hung on a cross. What's going to happen to John? Will John face the same cost, the same price for following you? What's going to happen to him? Galatians 6, 4, and 5 says, "Be careful attention to your own work. For then you will get the satisfaction of a job well done, and you won't need to compare yourself to anyone else. For we are each responsible for our own conduct." I'm guilty, as Peter, looking towards others, asking about them. Maybe you've asked, why are they blessed? Maybe asking, why haven't I been blessed like this person? I'm faithful. Asking, why do I endure so many trials and sicknesses while others just seem to prosper? Why do I have to endure this? Jesus very clearly rebukes Peter in this passage. And to put it into just language that I can understand very clearly, it was none of his business. What's it to you? As for you, follow me. That's what Jesus calls. Follow me. Don't worry about the other person. That's my business. For you, you follow me and trust and obey me and leave that to him. That's hard to do sometimes. To say, it's just not my business, that's God's business, and to do what he's called me to do and worry about what God's called me to do and do it well. And whatever I endure, face, blessed, not blessed, that's up to God. Don't judge according to others or look at other people's ministries or families or their wallets, any of it. That's God's business, not ours. Let's look at verse 23. So the rumor spread among the community of the believers that this disciple wouldn't die, that this isn't what Jesus said at all. He only said, "If I want him to remain alive until I return, what is that to you?" Interesting, John made sure and clarified this. Make sure nobody misunderstood what was going on here. I want to share a quote from Warren Wiersbe. I like this a lot, and I want to share this with you. It says, "The Lord rebuked Peter and reminded him that his job was to follow, not meddle into the lives of other believers. Beware, when you get your eyes off the Lord and start looking at other Christians, looking unto Jesus should be the aim and the practice of every believer. To be distracted by ourselves, our circumstances, or by other Christians is to disobey the Lord and possibly get detoured out of the will of God. Keep your eyes of faith on him and on him alone." Let's finish up with the last few verses, 24 and 25. "This disciple is the one who testifies to these events and has recorded them here. And we know that his account of these things is accurate. Jesus also did many other things. If they were all written down, I suppose the whole world could not contain the books that would be written." You know, I think about, as John wrote that, about Jesus and all that has taken place. I'm sure all of you could look back just this last year and just think of all the different things that Jesus has done in your own life. I can look back over the last 10 years and just all that Jesus has done in my life would be a series of books. not chapters, series. A new book coming out every year. What Jesus is doing. And that's what our life should look like. We should each year see what God is doing. And I'm never going to write a book. I can pretty much guarantee that I hate writing. But I can tell you, if I look back, I can just see Jesus. I see Jesus. I see Jesus. A lot of questions come to my mind as I read these passages between last week and this week. Jesus asks the question, not just to Peter, to all of us. He says, do you love me? Do you love me? If we love Jesus, we will feed the lambs, the sheep. We will care for his sheep and tend for them. There's different aspects to that that they see. If we love Jesus, we will feed the lambs and we will care or tend for them also. So it begins by the word, right? Feeding the lambs. We get the word now. But tending and caring is a second part of that. That's given the word, but that's given it in love. That's meeting the needs that need to be met. That's understanding what the needs are. What sheep or lambs has the Lord placed in your life? Are you feeding them God's word? Are you tending to them, to their needs? Are we each following Jesus, knowing what cost it may have? I want to share from a commentary with you what it means to follow me. Follow me is a present tense imperative, meaning keep on following. Stripped of pride, impulsiveness, and false expectations of leadership. Peter was ready to follow Christ in a new way because of new experiences and a clearer picture of himself. Follow me means consistent discipleship and steadfast pursuit of Christ, even if that requires martyrdom. It means continuing Christ's work in the way he wants it done, not in a way we want it done. I think often when I say I'm going to follow Jesus, I have in my mind what that looks like. Pretty picture, maybe. Sometimes for me, it was spending 4.5 years in Burma that was following Jesus. And it sounded great when we first went. We were pretty excited. But I can tell you, that was hard. And it truly taught me what it is to trust God and to lay everything down. You know, some of these things are pretty easy. You know, my finances, that's difficult, but it wasn't horrible. Now, I can tell you the hardest thing for me was my family, my kids. And I know when I was in Myanmar, we got sick a lot. And we got really sick. Not like a little bit sick. We got a lot sick. Like in the hospital, looking at my kids getting IVs and poked and prodded in some third world hospital with holes in the roof. Power going out all the time. And I remember when Jesus said, follow me, that's not what I had in mind. To watch my little girl sitting there, so sick and crying. Because she probably ate something she shouldn't have ate or drank some water that was bad. I don't know. That wasn't what I had in mind when I signed up. But at some point, God just spoke to me. And he said, I love these kids more than you love them. I think each of us have things in our lives that we put before God. And he called Peter, do you love me more than these things? And it's interesting, after many, many years as a Christian, as a pastor, things still come up. They creep into my life in different ways. Maybe it's control, maybe it's pride, maybe it's this church, maybe it's relationships. But until we truly surrender everything, you won't know what it's like to truly trust God. And this is continual, by the way, each and every day. I get up and I say, Lord, here I am. And I say it every morning that I remember. I give it all to you. I give you my family. I give you my finances. I give you position. I give it all. I just offer myself. And that's what he's called Peter to do here. Called us to do. In 2 Corinthians, I'm going to read chapter 1, 8 through 11. And it's so interesting. I've read this scripture many times because it's so relatable to us. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 8. We think You ought to know, dear brothers and sisters, about the trouble we went through in the province of Asia. We were crushed and overwhelmed beyond our ability to endure, and we thought we would never live through it. In fact, we expected to die. But as a result, we stopped relying on ourselves, and we learned to rely only on God who raises the dead. And He did rescue us from mortal danger, and He will rescue us again. We have placed our confidence in Him, and He will continue to rescue us. And you are helping us by praying for us. Then many people will give thanks because God has graciously answered so many prayers for our safety. This was written 2,000 years ago, and here we are today. I don't know how many of you have been in that position. I have. And until you let go, just as it's talked here, and stop relying on yourselves, and stop trusting your own abilities and your own everything. So the question comes back that this whole thing is about. Do you love Jesus? What's your answer? Do you love Jesus more than your own life? That one actually isn't that hard for me. More than your own worldly possessions? That one's not too hard for me. I don't have much anymore. More than your family? That one was hard. And he continues, do you love me? Are you feeding my sheep? Can you give an example of that? Are you feeding my sheep? At what cost are you willing to follow Jesus? I believe when Peter jumped out of that boat that day, it was a turning point in his life. I believe as he swam towards Jesus, he left everything behind that day, I do believe. But then as he swam there and he met with Jesus and he was fully surrendered before Jesus, Jesus then had a work to do in his life because there were still things in his life that had to be dealt with. Just as there were things in my life that had to be dealt with before I could be used in the ways that God wanted to use me. So be willing, be surrendered to Him, and allow God to deal with these things in our life and to heal us from these things. In closing, I got 3 points, as I talked earlier. Number one, are we prepared to be used by Jesus for His purpose? Again, this is important, by His purpose. Number two, Jesus is asking us and everyone here today, do you love me more than these? What's your these? What's your things? I know for me, I could answer that yes, but then things do come up, don't they? Third point, how is God molding us, you, into the person who would be used greatly by God? Is He pruning you in a certain way or asking for you to have faith in a certain way, to trust and obey in a certain way? Don't resist that. Let God work in your life. Please pray with me. Heavenly Father, I just thank You for Your Word. Lord, as I see this interaction that You've had with Peter, Lord, as Peter had fallen back, I believe, into his old patterns and his own ways. But yet, Lord, he came to You, Lord, and he sought after You, and he was surrendered to You, Lord. And Lord, You gave him, You consoled him, Lord. And You welcomed him with open arms and with all the provision that was needed, Lord. And You had fellowship with him. But then, Lord, You also, Lord, did a work in his life, asking him, do You love me? Do You love me? Do You love me? Really addressing the denial that Peter had done before. That, Lord, when he was truly faced with difficult, hard times, he had failed. His faith had wavered. But, Lord, You were there to restore him. And he came humbly before You and just he said, yes, Lord, I love You. Now, Peter, knowing the cost, knowing what it may cost him, Lord, he surrendered before You. And I pray each one of us today, Lord, if there's anything in our lives, Lord, that we would put behind that question, do You love me more than these things, Lord, we would just right now surrender that to You. We would just say, Lord, it's all Yours. I give it all to You. And Lord, I just trust You with it. And Lord, just use these things in my life to glorify You. And Lord, just do a mighty work in each of us, Lord. Just mold us into the people that You would have as You molded Peter into the man that was You were going to use greatly, Lord, that many would come to know the forgiveness of their sins. Many would come to know the freedom, the release of bondage from their sin, that they were no longer slave to their sins. As you used Peter to share that message, Lord, I pray that you would use each one of us, Lord. And as Lord, as I know, as we come surrendered to you, Lord, I just pray for the sanctification of each one of us, Lord, that you continue to work in our lives. And Lord, just cleanse us of anything in our lives that's not of you, Lord. Anything in our lives, Lord, that's not glorifying to you, Lord. Anything that's coming between our relationship between us and you. Anything that's coming between our relationship with others. Lord, I just pray, Lord, we would just repent of these things. And Lord, we would go out. We would be obedient, Lord. And respond to the question, do you love me? Not just by a yes. Not just by a yes. But we would go out, Lord, in action. Lord, and do what you've called each one of us to do, to feed your sheep, to tend for your sheep, to show the love of Christ to the world around us. And that would be our answer. Our answer would be in what we do, in obedience to you. So Lord, I just pray your Holy Spirit would be poured out on each one of us, Lord. And if anyone here today, Lord, doesn't know you, Lord, I just pray that you'd call them to repentance right now and call them to a loving relationship with you. And they would just come up even right now, Lord. Is there anyone here that has not professed you as Lord? But I just pray, Lord, that this would be the day, Lord, they would just raise their hand even now, Lord, and we could just pray together, Lord, that they would know you. Lord, if there's anyone here, Lord, I just pray you speak to them right now, Lord. If they would like to profess Jesus as their Lord and Savior, I just pray they raise their hand even right now, where everyone's eyes are closed and heads are bowed. Is there anyone here today that doesn't know you, Lord? Just let them raise their hand right now, Lord. Let this be a day, Lord, that they would, their lives would be changed for eternity forever, and they would know the freedom they have in you. Anyone out there today wants to make today the day that you call upon Jesus as your Lord and Savior, just let me pray with you afterwards. Again, Lord, I just praise you and I thank you. Continue to work in each of our lives, Lord, that we just let go and just place our trust in you. Thank you, Lord, for your word. In Jesus' name, amen.